Welcome to the Southwest Central Church of Christ. I'm Steve Sandifer, Minister Emeritus of this church. Our preaching minister, Steve and Chelsea, are hiking in the Tennessee hills right now. Hopefully Delta hasn't washed them away. And you can tell immediately that somebody who's not used to Facebook Live tech has set this up this morning. So I'm tall and not wide, and we're flipped. But that's because I don't know how to use my phone the way he knows how to use his. But we hope that everything will go well with you this morning. Please secure your communion supplies if you haven't done that yet. And please get a Bible, because you're going to have something to read in a few minutes. I'm not going to read it aloud myself, so you need to be able to read it for yourself. If I'm correct, this is week 30. And every week during this pandemic, we have been lighting a candle to remind us that Jesus is with us in spite of everything that's going on in the world. I've asked Andrew to light the candle for us today. Our psalm each week is coordinated with the Leaves program that we send to our children. Today it's Psalm 23, and this is from the New Living Translation of Scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. You should have received two songs in emails this week. Please join us as we sing together.
Good morning, church. It is good to be with you again, even though it's virtually, and we look forward to the time where we'll be back together and be able to hear each other's voices praising together. Let's sing. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. He will bow before his throne. He will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, Lord, from this, willing, suffer others to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. I want to remind the younger folks watching about our Leaves program. It's backwards here, but Leaves. And you have things there that you can be doing during our time together. And on the back, you have a puzzle to work and a letter to address. Our Jewish neighbors have just celebrated Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. A Jewish friend of mine shared this prayer with me that I share with you today. God, I am so base. Please elevate me. God, I am so tired. Please rest me. God, I am so sick. Please heal me. God, I am so downcast. Please cheer me. God, I am so lonely. Please accompany me. God, I am so broken. Please repair me. God, I am so numb. Please touch me. God, I am so lost. Please find me. God, I am so empty. Please fill me. This is where you need your Bible. Our text for today is Philippians 1, verses 21 through 30. Philippians 1, 21 through 30. In keeping with the format that Steve started last week, please get your Bible and read that text for yourself, or if there are several of you, one of you read it out loud to the group. And I'm going to pause and give you an opportunity now to do that. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 30. As Steve mentioned last week, we are reading someone else's mail from another time, another culture. It's as if you went into your grandmother's attic and found a trunk. And in that trunk, you found letters that her grandmother had written to her in the 1880s. She mentions people that you don't know and events that you are unaware of. And you wish you knew more. The best we can do is to read between the lines and try to see what the events might have been and who those people were. Our reading of Philippians is the same way. And I encourage you to read the whole book in one setting. Now, it's only four chapters, just over 2,000 words. If you were to print it out on your printer, it'd probably be about five pages. Read the whole thing in one setting and see what keeps coming back up. See the attitudes that seem to be between the lines. Mark the exhortations that are made. Why would Grandma say, "You need to eat your vegetables"? Probably because you didn't like vegetables. Why would she say, "Write your brother and make up"? Probably because there have been harsh words in the family. Reading Philippians with that kind of inquisitiveness and sensitivity will reveal a lot. We know Paul is in prison as he writes. He talks about his chains, and those chains have made it impossible for him to visit Philippi as he wanted to. Paul was very familiar with prisons. He had been in many. And he was always arrested for one thing, preaching the gospel, although it was trumped up as disturbing the peace and a few other things. As a matter of fact, he spent a night in Philippi's prison as first of his ministry there. And not only was it in prison, he could be executed for this. Death is a real possibility for Paul. And we get the impression in this letter that death is a real possibility for the Philippians as well. Yet his faith is that whether he lives or dies, he's glorifying God. He's content. He's rejoicing because he has faith in God. He says that all of this is because we get the impression that he says all of this because we get the impression that the brethren in Philippi are having a tough time too. Their difficulties have caused them to be critical of one another, to blame one another, to be very discontent, to be selfish, seeking their own gain, not that of the Lord, and not to trust God to work everything for his glory. They're more concerned about their glory. There is also hints that there may be danger in physical harm and death. And so these Christians seem to be hunkered down instead of proclaiming Jesus. Listen to some of the things he says in Philippians. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ to not only believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Welcome Epaphroditus in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. Whatever was my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to the goal. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. But our citizenship is in heaven. That is how you should stand firm in the Lord. I plead with Euodia and Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Do not be anxious about anything. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. To a people who are oppressed, treated unjustly, fearful, to a people who've lost their way, who are struggling, fighting with one another, vying for power over each other, to a people who are suffering, who are anxious about everything, even fearing their own death, Paul says, trust God. Be like Jesus. This world is not our home. If what we call worse comes to worse, death is gain, because it is the resurrection in reality. To live here is Christ. To die is to be with Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our joy is in heaven. Bring heaven to earth in the way you live, serving others in the name of Jesus. Here we are in 2020, a year like no other. We have not met as a church now for 30 weeks because of this highly contagious and deadly disease. We had not heard of the disease last year at this time. And yet some of us have lost friends to COVID-19. Some have lost jobs. Some have lost homes. What a difference a year and a disease can make. We're in the middle of an election cycle like no other. The attitudes and the language are also highly contagious and deadly. Lies spread like wildfire. People have been killed for supporting one candidate over another. This week, a conspiracy to kidnap the governor of Michigan was foiled. Friendships have been broken. Some live in fear of even stating their candidate selections. At the same time, our justice and equality have been challenged by long-denied racism and economic division. Some of our friends are literally scared to death by law enforcement and white supremacists. And all of this is rolled together and highly politicized. As Phil Rice would say, this world is a mess. And if we are not extremely careful and deliberate, the world will press us into its mold and make us just like it. As the Message translates Romans 12, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in all. I wonder what the next presidential debate would look like if the candidates took Philippians, or should I say Jesus, seriously. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, talk about such things. What would it look like if a candidate did nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but took the form of a servant? They probably won't. But the question is, will we? I don't mean to play COVID down in any way, but eventually science will find a cure. I can remember when AIDS was a death sentence. I can remember when polio was a rampant killer, and when the vaccine was given to me and my classmates in public school that stomped out polio. COVID will be history someday, but other diseases will surface that we haven't dreamed of yet. The election will come in less than a month and go. And this time next year, the political atmosphere will be different. Whether it's better or worse depends in part on how we as Christians live our lives. Remember, the Philippians did not live in a democracy. They had no say at all on what was going on. Paul and possibly some of the Philippians were facing prison and possibly death unfairly for proclaiming Jesus. They had a king, Caesar, who claimed to be God, and he demanded that the world worship him. Yet in spite of that, they could rejoice at sharing Christ's suffering. We people of faith need to remember who we are and whose we are. To live is Christ. We need to remember that our citizenship is in heaven, regardless of who is in control in the United States or anywhere else. We need to be peacemakers, bringing Yodia and Syntyche, the Democrats and Republicans, all ethnicities, into fellowship. We need to introduce ourselves to our neighbors and wash a bunch of feet. Our text says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Amen. You have the Lord's Supper prepared, I hope. And we, as our brothers and sisters around the world who are watching this, we'll take a little time right now to remember our Lord in the drink and in the bread.
At the feet of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love, at the feet of Jesus,
we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. We fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love, at the feet of Jesus, we cry, holy, 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 we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry.
want to remind you that the expenses of this church continue, even though we're not meeting, and encourage you to use the website to donate or to take a check and drop it by the building or mail it to us so that the work of this church can continue. And Larry Watson, one of our shepherds, wants to talk about a special contribution that's coming up soon.
It is the long-standing tradition of this church to take up a special collection that we call the Missions Love Offering around the time of Thanksgiving. The date this year would be November the 22nd, which is 6 weeks from today. And between now and then, I encourage you to consider whether you want to participate in this offering or not, and we will be mentioning it with regularity between now and the 22nd. So however you are submitting your contributions, do it the same way. Just note on your check or on a note which of the money you want to go towards the support of the Missions Love Offering. This morning I'm here to read an announcement that was drafted by Don Henson, who is the head of our missions team. She's very faithful in that role. She stays in communication with Reggie and Glenn and alerts us to situations that arise over there that we need to be aware of, and likewise she talks about our congregation to them. Don consulted with Reggie and they prepared this announcement that I'm about to read. Reggie Heller is our missionary in Vienna, Austria, and works mainly with immigrants there. Many of them live underground to avoid deportation, which would mean certain death for them. She works tirelessly trying to raise money for legal fees for those trying to be granted asylum and goes to court hearings with them. She teaches Bible classes and provides meals for those who attend the class. She provides bus transportation so they can attend the classes and look for jobs. Since the pandemic, she travels more to them, taking food with her. There are now 5 Farsi-speaking congregations meeting throughout Austria, and they all need assistance with public transportation and rent for the use of rooms they use for worship and Bible classes. Since January, there have been 24 baptisms, 2 of those just this week. The numbers of those attending the meeting are down due to the lack of a translator. The man who was translating from English or German into Farsi had to leave the country, but now one of the members has started translating. The numbers of those who are interested in following Christ have now started to pick back up. On Sunday mornings, Reggie is training Sunday school teachers. There are at least 16 children attending classes. On Sunday afternoons, she teaches the Farsi-speaking children with the help of a translator. Reggie also tries to meet the needs of those who are sick and provide others with basic needed items. She receives daily appeals for counseling and encouragement from those new Christians who are grieving the loss of family members. Some have been rejected by their families and are overcome with thoughts of suicide. Some are experiencing poor health and are in need of surgery. They have no insurance and no government help. Reggie tries to raise money to at least make a down payment on life-saving surgery. At Christmas, Reggie uses a good part of the mission's love offering to spread some Christmas cheer, especially to the children. Her greatest wish is to be able to do so again this year. Reggie needs her hot water heating system overhaul, but she has had to overdraw her own account due to the many pressing needs around her. Any funds you can send will be put to very good use serving our Lord. You can friend Reggie on Facebook if you wish to follow her more closely. She sends her love to all of you. One thing I failed to mention before I read that was that if you were present at last week's Zoom budget meeting, we told you then that we have removed Reggie and Glenn from our budgeted missions category. That means that we are not sending them regular money. So they are now living truly on faith, and it makes the importance of our missions love offering all the more critical this year. So I hope that you now have 6 weeks to think about it, and that you will do so prayerfully and lovingly, and will give sacrificially because of their growing need because of our lack of budget support. Thank you.
This week we learned that our brother Michael Mbami had a stroke 2 weeks ago and has been in Methodist Hospital. He hopes to move to a rehab facility in the next few days. Please remember Michael, Mercy, Miracle, and King in your prayers. Our sister Joyce Van Houten had a stroke on Tuesday morning, and she has been unresponsive. She's been moved to the Houston Hospice for the final days of her life. Joyce would tell you she almost made 101. What a delight she has been. Our prayers are with Joyce and Carol. And most of you know by now that Michael and Laurie Tucker have decided to move to the Austin area to be closer to family. And that's quite a blow to us. And in addition, Laurie's mother, Aretha Geyer, will be moving with them. The Tuckers have been leaders and teachers and shepherds and caregivers and friends for so many years. Their history is really with this church. Their house is on the market, and I predict it'll sell pretty quickly because it's just been rehabbed. I urge you to give them a call and to share your love with them as well. We close with this benediction from Philippians 1, 9 through 11, as translated by The Message. So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumvent and exemplary, a life Christ will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. Blessings to you this coming week.